It's time now for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Now, here's your host, Colin Fluxman.
Hi there, and here we are again with words of wisdom from our panel of divorce specialists. Lisa Zonder, our divorce attorney, and Jerry Cohen, who talks about the financial aspects of divorce. Hi, Lisa and Jerry. Welcome to the show again.
Hi, Colin.
We hope you had a restful Thanksgiving weekend at the start of the holiday season. Divorce at any time of the year is stressful enough, but even more so over the holidays when families usually come together to celebrate and kick back. But those unfortunate enough to be part of a broken family have their own set of challenges. Our guests today will talk about the problems that divorced and divorcing couples and their families face over what is supposed to be the festive season, the season to be jolly. Well, nothing jolly about the battles surrounding custody. Who gets to be with their children and when? We hope you'll come away after today's show with a better idea on how to handle what must be an unenviable position for those going through a divorce. Here's how to ask your questions about divorce and the holidays. Call us on 805-650-1590 or email Lisa at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. Lisa at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. One of our special guests today is attorney Leon Bennett, who was selected for inclusion in Southern California Super Lawyers and also received an AV preeminent rating from Martindale Hubbell's peer review for 18 consecutive years. Welcome to the show, Leon.
Good morning, Colin. How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. And thanks for taking the time to talk to our listeners.
It's my pleasure. This time of the year, I'm happy to be of assistance if I can.
Thank you. Leon, the holidays are a real challenge for divorcing couples. A particularly difficult situation must be when couples have to inform their children. What is your advice on how to break this news to the family?
Well, Colin, it's a very sensitive subject, and it quite frequently depends upon the age of the children, their level of maturity, and things of that nature. What most mental health professionals recommend is that it be broken to them in a way that they understand that there's a future, and the future is bright, and with two households, with two loving families, just not in one household. That's not always easy to accomplish, and unfortunately, many times, it isn't accomplished in a way that's helpful. It frequently is accomplished in a way that's destructive, and the families get into serious issues when they break it to their children the wrong way.
Is there a way to handle it for young children and for teenage kids? Is there a different way of handling that?
Absolutely. Young children, I guess the best story that I've ever heard is a story that actually a sitting bench officer, which means the judge or commissioner in family law, once told about his own divorce situation. His children were relatively young. They weren't 5 or 6 years old. I believe they were more like 10 or 12. But at any rate, he and his wife had decided that they were going to get a divorce, and they were going to be amicable about the way they did it. They were so amicable that they decided that they weren't going to even tell the children until they'd reached a full and complete agreement on everything, including where each of them would live and how much time and what days of the week each child would spend with each parent. Now, that's a unique story, but that is probably one of the best stories I've ever heard, because their parents were harmony in how to present it to the children, and did it in a way that wasn't destructive or sounding like they were having the end of the earth occur for them. The age of the children is important in how you present it, and I would say the younger the children are, the more important it is that it be done in a very sensitive and appropriate manner.
It must be really difficult when the kids are at such a stage where they're really very upset. It comes as something of a shock to them, perhaps, and they try and their hands at reconciliation. Have you had an experience with that, where the kids are not accepting of the inevitability of a divorce, and no, on the other hand, try on the reconciliation route?
Children are pretty perceptive. Parents many times will try to do just what you're saying. That is pretty much try to fool the kids that things are going along, you know, as normal over the holidays. Time, children are pretty perceptive as to what's happening. There's no really easy answer to that problem. Parents should always be looking at what's best for their children, and you know, if shielding them from their personal woes and their divorce is important to them, and it should be, then they should deal with it in a way that just is very sensitive to the fact that children don't want that to happen, and that they will often take responsibility for it when they don't own the responsibility for it.
Right. And it's important to tell the kids that it's not their fault that this is happening.
Very important.
Yeah. With the holidays around the corner, if a spouse, if spouses have verbal agreement to modify the holiday timeshare, for example, can the other side cancel?
Well, you raise a very interesting question, Colin. Court orders are what are enforceable. Court orders are in the party's divorce judgment, or if they are not quite yet finished with their divorce, or if they're a non-married couple, they might have some other type of temporary or permanent order. If there's a dispute over who's to have the children or child, you have to revert back to the court order to be the ultimate authority. And if it gets to an unfortunate situation where authorities have to get involved or enforcement remedies have to be sought, it's the court order that carries the weight. The courts will not enforce verbal agreements to modify court orders. They will many times enforce written agreements to modify court orders, especially if there's a chain of emails or texts or something of that nature, which clearly demonstrate that there's an agreement, and then all of a sudden it's reneged upon. Not favored well with the court to renege upon an agreement to see your children or to work out an amicable resolution to a dispute. So while you should do it and we should encourage it to be in writing.
Leon, we have several emails which I'd like to read to you, and perhaps you can respond to those. And we'll take your calls on 805-650-1590 on today's topic and any other divorce-related questions you'd like to put to our panel of experts. 805-650-1590 or email Lisa at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. Check out our website at divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com and like us on Facebook at Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com, zonderfamilylaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740, Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740 or email Lisa at zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas. You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. I'm Colin Fluxman. Our number is 805-650-1590. This week our guests are attorney Leon Bennett and joining us a little later, Dr. Gitu Bhatia, and our regular team of Lisa Zonder and Jerry Cohen. Leon, I have an email here from Shireen in Camarillo, and she writes, "My family is from Bombay, India, and we don't celebrate Christmas. My ex-husband was raised in Minnesota and does celebrate Christmas. Our divorce agreement calls for my ex-husband and I to share all major holidays equally. He also has visitation with our children every other weekend and one overnight per week. My family is going to be in the U.S. from December 23rd through the 30th, and since they rarely get a chance to spend time with their grandchildren, I'd like to keep the children for the entire week. Does my family visitation take priority over my ex-husband's holiday and weekend visitation time?" Perhaps you'd like to respond to Shireen and Camarillo.
Wow, that, Colin, is a loaded question full of a number of concerns. Let's start with the concept of who has priority rights for custody and visitation. As I indicated earlier, you have to follow court orders. That's the first thing. If you don't have a court order in place, that's a whole other issue. In terms of priorities, grandparents have very little rights at all in connection with custody or visitation. Their rights are pretty much limited as being derivative through their child, who's the mother or father of the children. In rare instances, where there's been a death of a parent or something like that, or an incapacity issue, grandparents may step up into a different role, but generally they're seen as being distant relatives. Now, in many cultures, it sounds like our client here is from Bombay, India, so that sounds like there's an Indian culture issue here as well. Many times the courts will consider the culture of the family in deriving orders for custody and visitation so as to encourage participation by extended family members. But those kinds of orders need to be sought at the time that you go into court initially to get your court orders and not wait until it's the last minute and the situation is on your doorstep. Because courts don't see these situations as being urgent, they're not going to put them up as a priority, and they need to be dealt with early on. As far as the other issues here, as far as who's can she just keep the kids, that wouldn't be a wise idea. I'm assuming she has a court order that's valid and enforceable here in California. So under the circumstances, if she were to keep the children and not release them to their father, she could face serious consequences in terms of penalties from the court. She could even end up in jail for contempt of court. So those are not things that we recommend anybody do. Self-help is not a good idea when it comes to custody.
Right. If you'd like to call in and put a question to Leon Bennett, our special guest today on Divorce Leases Under Style, the number to call is 805-650-1590. Feel free to call right now and Leon will take your calls. Lisa, we have a question for you. I know that Leon has been answering some amazing questions and very valuable questions for the time of the year. How did you become acquainted with Leon?
Oh, I met Leon through the San Fernando Valley Collaborative Professionals Group, and we're a group of interdisciplinary professionals who come together to help families get through their divorce and work toward solutions for families. I was hoping, Colin, just to add something to what Leon said. You know, he was talking about a court process. If the clients were in a collaborative divorce process, you know, an out-of-court process that we've talked about here on the show, the team lawyers and divorce coaches could have helped the clients. You know, we just talked about the out-of-town grandparents. They could have helped the clients come to their own solutions. And, you know, it's possible that if the parents cooperated and worked together, they could have come up with a solution, for example, that, you know, the grandparents could see the children before and after the Christmas holiday. So, you know, this would be a perfect opportunity to teach the children and role model to them about how people work together, especially around the holiday time. So it's just something I think Leon also, being a collaborative lawyer, maybe you want to add something to that?
Leon?
Lisa's absolutely correct. The collaborative movement is such an important movement for dispute resolution. And Lisa's pretty much at the tip of the spear in the collaborative movement in our community. Parents, grandparents' rights are oftentimes very touchy issues. And if the parents can get together and meet with a collaborative team of lawyers and mental health professionals to resolve that dispute before it becomes a problem, more likely than not, they're going to end up working something out that's going to be satisfactory to everybody. And I encourage people to do that because court really is a vast.
Jerry, a question for you. What are some of the more common financial issues and concerns you see for the couple during the holidays?
It seems like during the holidays we see a lot of issues with overspending, whether it's to kind of make up for what the kids are going through and trying to buy more gifts or more expensive gifts for the children, maybe overspending on themselves because they're, again, not happy with what's happening and feel they could make it up that way. We try to help couples focus on looking at the long-term picture and maybe what some of the consequences may be. If you do too much overspending, you're going to have to make it up somewhere later. Also, there's issues with spending on whether they're community funds or if you're using your own funds, and if you're dipping into the community, depending on if you're separated yet or not, there may be somewhat of a penalty later on that you may have to pay that back. So it's important to understand what you're doing, and if you're working with in more collaborative process and a coach, you may want to talk to your coach about some of your fears and concerns before you take it out on the pocketbook.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA from 3 to 4 p.m. Our number is 805-650-1590. This week our guests are attorney Leon Bennett. A little later on, Dr. Geeta Bhatia will join us, and our regular team of Lisa Zonder and Jerry Cohen.
A significant portion of most divorce settlements involve financial issues, especially in today's tough economic times. Jerry Cohen, a regular guest on the show and a divorce financial planning specialist, will help you and your spouse reach a fair and equitable financial settlement. Having the right information now can help you from having to revisit tax and financial issues in the future. Call Jerry Cohen on 805-200-5044, 805-200-5044, or email jcohen@cdfplanning.com. jcohen@cdfplanning.com. Visit the website at californiadivorcefinancialplanning.com for more information. Need a lawyer? The Ventura County Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service is a state bar certified referral service dedicated to finding you the right lawyer. The County Bar Association is a non-profit corporation providing this referral program as a public service, which meets the American Bar Association standards. If you need legal help, the LRIS can place you in touch with a qualified lawyer who will assist you with your problem for a reasonable fee of $35 for a 30-minute consultation. Call the experienced professional staff at the County Bar Association at 805-650-7599, 805-650-7599, or email bar@vcba.org. The right call for the right lawyer. The Lawyer Referral and Information Service. 805-650-7599.
If you have any questions for our panel of experts, call 805-650-1590 or email lisa@divorcetalkradiocalifornia.com. Maria is on the line. What's your question?
I've been divorced for 3 years. And my husband, he works for UPS. Every Christmas, every holiday, we have problems because he won't do what the visitation schedule says he needs to do. He says he's working too much on holidays, and so he's supposed to pick up my son, and he doesn't do it. And then it makes me stressed out. I don't know what to do. What can I do to make him do what the visitation order says he needs to do?
Leon, would you care to respond?
Well, there's a couple of things that can be done, but I'm going to defer at some point here to Lisa, because I think that this is the type of situation that is ideal for a collaborative resolution. People want to accommodate the needs of the parents, but it's about the child, and the child's needs come first. This is a best interest of the child situation, always. The problem we have here is if someone's not exercising their time that they're allocated to have with their children, the other parent is going to incur expenses and their time away from their other responsibilities to care for the child. And they can recover those costs, and they can recover that through the court system. But as I suggested earlier, this is, I think, the type of situation where if there's a little flexibility and a little working relationship between former partners, deal with the child gets to spend time with both parents during the holiday season, I think that's a better remedy.
Lisa?
Yeah, Leon, I would agree with you. I think that if you and I had that particular case in a collaborative setting, you know, what we would do is we would assemble our team of divorce coaches and a child specialist and have them meet with the children, meet with the parents, and figure out, you know, some sort of a cooperative plan.
That's the kind of dispute that should be resolved in that manner, and generally can be when you have two parents that are really listening to what it's about, and it's about the child.
Maria, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. If you have any questions for our experts, the number to call is 805-650-1590. Another email for you, Leon, from Jack in Ojai. My wife is Jewish and I'm Christian. The judgment provides for me to have the children for Thanksgiving from Wednesday after school until Monday morning, return to school, and for my ex-wife to have the children for the first 2 days of Hanukkah. This year, Hanukkah starts on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and my ex-wife is insisting on having the children this year from Wednesday night through Thursday night. And this is already passed, but for future reference, perhaps you can respond to that. What should they do? Which holiday takes precedence and the religious or the non-religious holiday.
It's a very unique situation this year, so I don't think this is going to be something that reoccurs in future years, because as I understand it on the calendar, this situation where the Jewish holiday Hanukkah overlaps with Thanksgiving, I think only happens once in 100 years.
Oh, really?
So this is a unique situation. But this is not a unique situation in terms of crossover holidays, because we live in a very diverse, culturally diverse society. And I don't know if you know this, but there's some, I believe, 21 different holidays between Halloween, October 31st, and New Year's Day, January 1st, that are regularly recognized by the major religious groups of people that live in our community. So this is a problem.
That was posed many, many problems for divorcing couples and divorce
couples. Generally has to happen in a case like this is, this is another one of those situations where Lisa and I were talking about and get involved in trying to preempt this problem by having a collaborative session early on. When that doesn't happen, the courts will generally look at religious holidays as more important to the continuum of the family than secular holidays. I say that with a little bit of fuzziness to it, because I can imagine there might be some situations where there's a major secular holiday and a minor religious holiday that interact. The real problem is that parents have to be sensitive to the family needs of the child. And if there's religious on one side and non-religious on the other, the court's going to allow the parents child the religion of their choice and to involve them in the religion of their choice. And there needs to be sensitivity to that.
Lisa?
The other thing I would add, Leon, is that, you know, if we were in a collaborative or a mediated process, you know, what we could do is we could ask the parents to generate some of their own brainstorming options. And, for example, mom could get the Hanukkah holiday at night when she lights her menorah, and during the day, dad could have the children to have his Thanksgiving meal. You know, really, parents can work together and figure these things out. And I just love the brainstorming aspect. It's such a hallmark of the collaborative divorce process, because not only can the lawyers chime in with and generate options for the parents, but also the clients can. And it's great when it comes from them and they originate these ideas about how to solve for some of these issues.
Well, I believe there's an ancient philosopher who once said the art of diplomacy is having it done your way, but it's their idea.
Beautiful.
That is the beauty of collaborative. It truly can be a process where you end up getting it your way, but it's the other person's idea, because we're in a non-confrontational working environment where people are all headed towards a common solution. So as long as parents are willing to make that commitment to a common solution of what's best for their children, the alternative of collaborative is far superior to the litigation process.
On that very subject, we have Nicole on the line who has a question. Nicole, go ahead with your question.
Hi. My ex-husband and I have a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 9-year-old, and our judgment says that we each get half of the kids' winter break, so either myself or my ex miss out on spending Christmas with them. I don't really think that's in the best interest of our kids, but what can we do?
Oh, wow. Nicole, this is exactly what we're talking about trying to move things towards a collaborative resolution. It sounds like you have a cookie-cutter divorce judgment that was probably done without the assistance of lawyers. Frequently, we see judgments and court orders that have these types of provisions in them. When people aren't sophisticated to know what the pitfalls are, they end up agreeing to things that sound good. And it sounds good, but it's not necessarily in the best interest of your kids. There's a couple of things you can do. First of all, this is another situation where a collaborative resolution would make most can't get a collaborative resolution, then the courts do offer mediation services in connection with a dispute once you file your request to solve that dispute, known as a request for orders. And the mediation services frequently can end in the parties reaching an agreement to alter their arrangement and really focus on what's best for the kids. But that is a confrontational process and one that is going to ire people right off the bat, because you're going to be heading to court telling them that we want something that you don't want, we're going to ask the judge to make the decision. When it comes to custody of children over the holidays in particular, I think that's the last resort. I think moving towards the collaborative approach and bringing in the right team early to solve that dispute is the right way to go.
Does that answer your question, Nicole?
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for your call. Jerry, a question for you. Is there any financial advantage to either or both parties to wait until the new year to divorce?
Yeah, there can be quite a few financial reasons why you may want to put it off a little bit. And I wouldn't make any real serious decisions just based on the financial part, because you have to consider other issues. But if everything else is consistent, one of the issues may be health insurance. If both parties have been covered by one of the employer plans available to one spouse, and they're not going to be able to continue that after they're divorced, may want to give a little more time for that spouse that doesn't have the coverage. So again, if everything else is in sync, you may want to wait until the other's able to find some insurance. Also, the same thing with employment. If there's one spouse that's not been working and they need a little more time maybe to find something, particularly with the way the job market is now, maybe giving them a little more time would be helpful. Also gives them time to maybe establish where they're going to move to, what the expenses are going to be, are they going to rent or buy. Sometimes they're waiting for a house to sell, and the agreement is that both parties will stay in the house till it's sold, and then they'll go their own way. So that sometimes is something we're waiting for an escrow to close or to find another house or property they're going to be renting. There's some tax issues. I wouldn't, again, decide if you're going to stay together or not, longer or shorter over the tax return. But if they want to file a joint return and keep not separate yet, so they could maybe get some tax advantages, that may be a reason. Also allow one or both to get a little more credit in their name. If the credit card's in one person's name, it's always advisable to start setting up some credit in your own name. That can give you time for that. And also with retirement plans, when they're split or some of the funds are taken out for one party to get, if one of the parties are going to be over 59 and a half in the beginning of the next year, they may still be taxed if they take money out of an IRA, but they could avoid a penalty. So again, the timing of that could be a financial advantage to actually both parties if they get more of the IRA funds out. The last one to consider is life insurance. It's not mandatory, but we usually recommend that the person receiving support is getting some type of insurance. Sometimes that's in the form of life insurance, and there may be a little time to apply for it. And I highly recommend, if you are applying for insurance for that purpose, be sure that the other person's insurable and it's accepted before you sign the final agreement. So that may be another reason to give it a little more time.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonder Style. We're talking about the problems that divorced and divorcing couples and their families face over what is supposed to be the festive season. Leon, back to you. Just one quick email. We have Jenny on the line. Let's take the call from Jenny first. Jenny, go ahead.
Yes. My question relates to our current judgment for dissolution of marriage. And my ex-husband's girlfriend, who used to be my best friend, and I say used to be, called me last night and said that rather than following the court orders and my ex-husband delivering the children to me at the end of visitation, their lives are so busy, and therefore I'm going to need to pick up the children despite the current order in place. Is he allowed to force me to pick up the children?
Oh, boy. Lisa, I don't think this sounds like a collaborative case to me, but you may have a different opinion.
No, it doesn't sound too collaborative to me either.
It sounds like there's a little bit of power struggle here and that there's too many dynamics going here to make this something that might be easily solved through a collaborative session. What you're likely going to have to do in a case like this is you're probably going to have to at least let him know pretty quickly here that there's a court order that you will enforce, and through whatever means you have to enforce it. Unfortunately, you're limited in means of enforcement. Of course, you can call the police and have the police go out and tell them that he's keeping the children in violation of the court order, and they'll take a report, but then you're going to create a whole scene in front of your children, and I'm not sure that's in their best interest at any time. Another option is you can file with the court a request for contempt orders. Contempt of court is a very serious situation. A person who is found to willfully have violated a court order, which they both had knowledge of and had the ability to comply with, can be thrown in jail for 5 days and fined and placed on probation for each violation of the court order. So while there's remedies out there available to you, I would caution you in this situation. You do not want to negatively impact your children. So whatever method is available to you to most likely get him to comply without having to put on a scene with the police in front of the children, I think is your best option.
We have an email from Jolene in Oxnard, Leon. And the email reads, my ex-partner always drinks too much at her office holiday party, but insists that our children attend the party with her. How can I prevent this?
Well, Jolene, it sounds like you are in a dissolved domestic partnership or a dissolved marriage. Maybe it's a paternity situation, I don't know. But the law in the state of California is the same, notwithstanding what type of relationship you have in those protected relationships. The bottom line is protection of your child. And if one of the parents has propensity to drink too much and expose the child to dangerous situations, driving with the child while drunk, things of that nature, you as a parent, you have an affirmative obligation to protect that child, whether it's to contact the Department of Children and Family Services because the situation is grave and requires immediate attention, or whether it's going into court and asking the court to restrict a person's time or the way in which a person spends their time with the child is what you have an obligation to do. So,
are you still there, Leon? Looks like we've lost Leon for just a moment. Are you there, Leon? We'll get back to that. We're coming to you from Lisa, Divorce Lisa Zonda Style, every Saturday, and we're discussing holiday problems with divorce. Lisa, I have a question for you. As a divorce attorney, what types of issues do clients present with around holiday time in November and December?
Colin, two of the most pressing issues are, one is fine-tuning child custody and parenting times during holiday periods, which obviously we've been hearing a lot about with Leon and some of the questions he's been getting. And the second is filing the divorce judgment before the end of the year for tax purposes or maybe because a client wants to remarry. Those are normally the two that come to us, you know, in a pressure cooker 11th hour situation where clients need to do something right before the end of the year.
I believe we have Leon back on the line. We dropped him for just a second. You're there, Leon.
I am here.
All right. So we do have another email for you. We have lots of emails coming in for you today, which is
a busy time of the year.
This is from David in Thousand Oaks. Our children have been telling me that their mother's new boyfriend yells at them and spanks them if they don't behave. What should I do?
Very sensitive subject. First of all, yelling them and spanking them is obviously not an appropriate course of action. And the children need to be protected. Now, there's a difference between normal discipline and being abusive. I don't know how long this relationship has been in existence, but I certainly wouldn't expect the courts to be terribly sympathetic to a parent allowing their children to be exposed to that type of behavior, certainly not unless it's on a rare occasion and in a disciplinary mode. But having a new mate or a new parent stepping into the lives of children and disciplining them is frequently very, very troubling. It causes problems in the relationship between the children and their parents. It causes problems in the development of the relationship with the children and the new mate. So it's highly, highly discouraged. That being said, it's the same type of situation as we talked about just a few minutes ago. Parents have an obligation to protect their children. So if it's something that has become to the knowledge of mom, you have an obligation to protect the kids. Dad, you have the same obligation. And if that means picking up the phone and calling the appropriate authorities to report abusive behavior, that's what you have to do.
We have another email here. In fact, we have Deborah on the line. She has a question. Go ahead, Deborah.
Yes, my question is that my ex-husband and I have joint legal custody, and there are numerous times he fails to return our children to me by 6 o'clock on Sunday night, as the court has ordered. I'm wondering if this is a good enough reason for me to request a change in custody.
Wow. Just bringing a child back late on visitation is not normally seen as such a catastrophic change in circumstances to warrant a change in the custodial arrangement. The problem is that it becomes habitual. If it becomes habitual, you have to wonder whether or not it's intentional. If it's intentional, then the person's intentionally violating a court order, and we're back in that enforcement mode, contempt of court situation that we've talked about a couple of times today already. You don't want to get yourself into that, but frequently that's the only thing that is going to get the parent who is always late to hear it. Now, maybe an appropriately worded letter from an attorney on your behalf indicating that, you know, there are remedies available to cure this problem if he doesn't agree to remedy it himself might be your better approach to start with. And again, this is maybe also something that can be solved in a collaborative way. Maybe adjusting the return time to one that's more achievable and that's going to cause less stress for both sides of the family is a better approach. And that can be accomplished through a collaborative process.
Yeah, I agree with you, Leon. I mean, I think in terms of, you know, that caller, the question is going to be, why is dad failing to return the children on time? You know, this is something that you need to explore a little bit more in detail and find out if it's an issue around he just not getting enough time with the kids. Is there, you know, some sort of an event, an extracurricular activity he's taking the kids to, and it just needs to be adjusted? There could be, you know, really easy ways to, you know, resolve some of these, but, you know, options should be explored, I think, before the parties resort to litigation in a case like this. Yeah.
This is a real common scenario. I see this in my practice all the time. I'm certain you have too. The hardest part about these types of situations is convincing the parties that they can sit down and talk about it and work through it, and it's not a tug of war. If you can get the parents to that position, generally a resolution is easy to reach.
That's where the fee cure comes in, and you let them know what it's going to cost to litigate the issue.
Exactly.
You're listening to Divorce Lisa Zonda Style, coming to you each week on AM 1590 KVTA. Do you have any questions about any aspect of your divorce? We have divorce attorney Lisa Zonda, divorce CPA Jerry Cohen, and our special guests today are attorney Leon Bennett, and just in a few minutes later on in the show, we have psychologist Dr. Geetu Bhatia.
Are you contemplating divorce? Maybe you've already filed for divorce and are overwhelmed by the process, or you're in the midst of a divorce and not sure what to do next. Well, we have the answer for you. The second Saturday Divorce Workshop. Explore the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce. Discover community resources available to help you. Talk with others experiencing similar life changes. Learn from experts who have guided others through divorce. Workshops are held at 2625 Townsgate Road, Suite 330, Westlake Village, on the second Saturday of each month from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Register by calling 805-372-1810, 805-372-1810, or email us at secondsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. That's 2ndsaturdaywestlake@gmail.com. Call 805-372-1810, 805-372-1810. If you're looking for workshop locations other than Westlake Village, check out the website at wife.org. That's wife.org.
Divorce Lisa Zonda Style. I'm Colin Fluxman, and our special guest has been Leon Bennett. Thank you so much for joining us today. I have one more email for you to respond to, if you don't mind. And it's something,
my pleasure, Colin.
Something that obviously concerns a lot of people. I, for one, I'm not a smoker, and when somebody is smoking anywhere near me, I get very upset. But we have an email from Mike in Santa Barbara, who says his ex-wife is having her mother, the children's grandmother, drive them to their after-school activities. She, the grandmother, is a chain smoker, and her car always smells of cigarette smoke. Is there any way to prevent her from driving the kids?
Colin, unfortunately, this is a common situation which seems to be getting better as people become educated on the subject. It is a problem, and he can prevent this from happening. There are a number of studies out there that have clearly tied exposure to secondhand smoke to serious medical conditions, including cancer. Children are not immune to this. Placing a child in a car that someone regularly smokes in or that someone is actively smoking in places the child directly in the harm's way. Courts are very proactive in protecting against this, so if parties can't see the wisdom of making sure that their children are not exposed to secondhand smoke on a known basis, then the courts will intervene on the request of either parent. They can also intervene on the request of a mandatory reporter, such as a school teacher or a therapist or a doctor, because technically this is abusive behavior to allow a child to be exposed to it. It's a danger to the child.
Leon, thank you very much for spending the last 45 minutes or so with us on Divorce Lisa Zonder Style. Really appreciate your input and hope you and your team have a very festive season.
It is my absolute pleasure to have participated. Lisa, keep up the good work.
Thank you. Same for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our number to call is 805-650-1590 on today's topic, and any other divorce-related questions you'd like to put to our panel of experts. We're expecting a call in any moment from psychotherapist Dr. Geetu Bhatia. But Jerry, an email, in fact, a question I have for you. Do you have any financial tips for a divorcing couple during the holidays?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to something I mentioned earlier about the budget. I think that's one of the biggest issues I see is a challenge to the couple and causes some maybe a little more difficulties later. I really encourage, you know, well before the holiday season, as soon as you realize that you're going down this path to work on the expense budget, it seems like a lot of potential problems that have to be addressed later with the spending and the spending on they're for themselves, the children, starting to maybe buy more things themselves because it makes them feel good. That seems to cause problems later. So I would really work with a financial professional if you need, or if you're working with a financial planner. There's a lot of resources online that could help you form the budget. I would really focus on that, and there's a lot of benefits throughout the process once you have that budget done.
Thanks very much. Well, we have Dr. Geetu Bhatia on the line. Doctor, thank you for calling in.
My pleasure.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. Well, it's the time of the holidays. Why are the holidays particularly hard for families, would you think?
Well, the holidays have such significance symbolically as well as memories and, you know, for families, what keeps people together are rituals associated with holidays. So when there is a divorce, a lot of these things have to change and shift and involves a lot of people, so it becomes a very complicated time for all the emotions of divorce to surface. All the grieving of the relationship comes to a head in a way.
So how do families with children handle the holidays after divorce?
Well, there are many ways people handle the holidays. One is, just alternating, deciding ahead of time to share some part of each holiday with the children, because ultimately it is the children who we're focused on to ensure they have a good time and that they don't lose their relationship and gifts and all that stuff that comes with holidays. Some people split them in different ways. There are some families that continue to share the holidays. And often that is the hardest thing, because you're forced to deal with people you may not enjoy being with. All kinds of emotions surface at these times. So usually alternating or splitting holidays tend to be a more manageable thing.
So what are some of the survival tips you have for people for whom this is the first holiday season since their divorce?
Well, the most important thing is to plan ahead. That way you can problem solve things more effectively and you're not shell-shocked at the last minute. So planning ahead is important. And then taking care of yourself. That is making sure you're not alone during the holidays, that you have friends and supportive family around you, and that you're setting up new traditions for children and for yourself. A lot of planning helps, you know, contend with unexpected kinds of things. There will always be unexpected emotions. So knowing how you're going to handle it, even learning to breathe under stress or going out for a run or taking care of yourself in different ways is often a very good idea.
If you have any questions on any divorce-related issue, please call 805-650-1590. The advice given by our panel is not intended as legal or other professional advice. For that, you need to set up a private consultation with a reputable professional. Are you and your spouse at the stage in your life where it's time to move on? Divorce is very stressful and can present a minefield of obstacles. Attorney Lisa Zonder can help you through this process, providing a number of legal options, like traditional court divorce and out-of-court options such as mediation and collaborative divorce. One call to Lisa will set you on the path to a peaceful and economical resolution that is focused on your family. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com, zonderfamilylaw.com.
I was impressed with Lisa Zonder's knowledge and professionalism, and I'm grateful for her affable attitude through the process. I'm happy with the final product.
Contact Lisa Zonder today, certified family law specialist, State Bar of California, Board of Legal Specialization. Call 805-777-7740, 805-777-7740, or go online at zonderfamilylaw.com. Mention you heard it on the radio, and your first consultation is free for local and qualified clients. Call 805-777-7740. Lisa Zonder at 805-777-7740 or email lisa@zonderfamilylaw.com. Consultations are granted based on appropriate qualification as determined by Lisa Zonder. Her practice is limited to family law matters in Ventura and surrounding areas. Psychotherapist Dr. Geetu Bhatia is on the line. Geetu, we mentioned a little early on about how to tell the children that the couple is going through a divorce, especially over the holiday season. What is your advice about telling the kids, getting the family together and discussing it?
This is something we've talked about before. Telling the children a coherent narrative of what's happened and what to expect in the future, for parents to do that together is often a really good idea. And having an opportunity to deal with those emotions ahead of time, and letting the children know what to expect and how to rethink spending the holidays in different homes and with different relatives and things like that helps the children come to this place in life with a little bit more support and understanding. So that's always a good idea.
Lisa, how do you typically deal with clients' requests regarding parenting time?
Well, I think we talked with Leon about that a little bit, but I can just add that I would normally encourage my clients to bring to my attention any adjustments that they need in their parenting time at least a month or more in advance, because if you want the court to have a hearing, if it's a litigated case, you need to get before a judge in a timely fashion, and normally you have, you know, mandatory notice periods of 16 court days, et cetera, before you can even file a request for order with the court. So you want to not only give time for your lawyer to write up the request, you know, put it all in writing, in other words, and make the request to the court, but then also to get an actual hearing date and to get it done in a timely fashion. Also, what I also tell clients is, you know, if you want to process your divorce judgment before the holidays, you generally want to make sure that not only are all of your marital settlement agreement, you know, terms memorialized, you sign up the papers, your judgment papers, but you get it to us in a way, you know, that will give us enough time to process all of the different forms, check off all the boxes we need to check, and get it to the court clerks. And they're usually working on about a one-month processing time. So you can imagine if they get inundated or deluged with judgments right before the holiday period, you're going to want to give them a little extra time, especially if you're in a do-or-die situation and you absolutely want that judgment filed before the holidays.
We've been dealing with the legal, financial, and emotional aspects of divorce, but something that we haven't discussed, and someone who's on the line to give us some information here about staying healthy through the holidays, using exercise and getting back in shape, is personal trainer Brock. Brock, you're on the line?
Hello, yes.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So this is very, very important, staying fit and keeping healthy. What are some of the tips that you have?
Well, the main thing is when you're stressed out, the body produces all kinds of chemicals and negative chemicals in your body. And when you exercise, these chemicals are kind of combated.
Dropped him? Okay. Brock, we'll get you back on the line. Incidentally, Brock is talking about staying healthy, keeping trim, fit, and slim. His email address is brock_717@yahoo.com. If you have any information or you'd like any information or you want to get in touch with Brock, and hopefully we'll get him back on the line, brock_717@yahoo.com.
Colin, you forgot to mention that I happen to know Brock.
I was going to get there.
Okay.
I was going to get there. You're listening to Divorce Lisa's on the Style, broadcast each week 3 to 4 p.m. on AM 1590 KVTA. Call 805-650-1590. If you have a question about your divorce, our regular panelists are Lisa Zonder, a divorce lawyer out of Westlake Village, and Jerry Cohn, a divorce CPA. We have a special guest on the line, Dr. Geetu Bhatia, who is talking about emotional issues and handling the emotional aspect of divorce over the holidays. Brock, back on the line. Please continue. Sorry, we dropped you there for a minute.
Yes. What I was talking about is the negative chemicals that are produced in the body when you're stressed out. And during the holiday time, stresses are at an all-time high. And especially if you're going through a divorce or something like that, to that nature, you need to exercise. It's going to produce endorphins, which are kind of mood boosters that are naturally produced in the brain. And they're going to give you that runner's high. People have heard that runner's high term before. And you can get that just from going for a walk, going for a hike. You don't need to be a runner to get those effects.
What other kinds of exercise would you recommend?
What are the kinds of exercise?
Yes.
You can work out with a personal trainer. You can go swimming. You can, like I said, do something as simple as walking. The key is not what kind of exercise you're doing. It's just getting moving. You want to do 20 to 30 minutes a day if you can. And like I said, it could be during your lunch break because a lot of people use the excuse that they don't have any time. But you need to get the body moving to get those natural kind of endorphins going to kind of eliminate those negative chemicals that your body produces during stressful moments.
And this, of course, would be much better for the whole family to do as a family, right?
Oh, yes.
So Dad,
I do a lot of in-home trainings, and I train entire families, and it's always better for the whole family to get involved so that everybody's on the same page.
So when Dad has the kids over the weekend, he should exercise with them. And when Mom has the kids or the grandparents, they should do the exercise. So the kids are getting a lot of exercise there, right? It helps them too.
Yes, exactly. Kids have a huge problem with that these days because of everything being on the computer and
exactly.
iPads and all that kind of stuff. So getting them out, getting them moving is the best thing you can do for them. Exercise is so key just for self-image aspects. I mean, when you look better, your clothes fit better, you in turn feel better about yourself. Your overall mood is just better. You have less chance of, you know, snapping on your spouse or lashing out at your kids, you know, because we tend to do that to the ones that are closest to us.
What about the temptation of all the holiday food and the holiday fare? I mean, we tend to overeat during the season, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, my take on holidays is to kind of let yourself eat what you want on the holidays, because I don't think that holidays are the things that make people overweight or out of shape. It's all the other days in between.
Brock, thank you very much for calling in. We really appreciate it. And once again, if you'd like to get in touch with Brock, his email address is brock_717@yahoo.com. We have about 1 minute or so left. Dr. Bhatia, thank you very much for calling. I have one last question. If you could just perhaps give some overall advice for the holidays for families who are going through divorce or already are divorced.
The most important thing that people need to keep in mind is that the holidays have symbolic and psychological meaning to families. And if you want your children to think of the holidays as a fresh beginning and a new outlook on and a positive outlook on the future, then that's the goal that they need to keep in mind as they go through it and put aside the anger and the hurt and the pain for that period of time so that the children will have great memories for the future and not look back and say how their holidays were distorted or lost because of what mom and dad were going through. So keeping the focus on the children is definitely really hard sometimes to do, but the most important goal for the, you know, and even if people are from different faiths, respecting the fact that each faith is helping children have a hopeful outlook on the future.
Thank you. Well, that's it, I'm afraid, for this edition of Divorce Talk, Lisa Zonderstyle. Thanks to our special guests, Leon Bennett and Dr. Geetu Bhatia, and our regular panel, divorce attorney Lisa Zonder and divorce CPA Jerry Cohn. Next Saturday, celebrity attorney Neil Hirsch will be talking about divorces of the rich and famous and dealing with the paparazzi. Remember to check us out at DivorceTalkRadioCalifornia.com, where you can listen to past shows in full if you've missed them, and like us on Facebook at Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. I'm Colin Flaxman. Enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend.
Tune in every Saturday at 3 p.m. for Divorce Lisa Zonderstyle. This radio programming is not intended to encourage anyone to seek a divorce. The producers assume that callers are seeking basic information. The radio program is intended to be an informational format and does not constitute legal advice. Anyone with legal, mental health, financial, or other professional questions is directed to retain a competent professional after carefully interviewing qualified professionals. A guest appearance by a particular panelist does not constitute a specific recommendation by the producers as to the expertise of that professional, nor does that panelist's views necessarily reflect the views of the producer.